We're going to start a brand new series today called How to Be Rich. I'm really excited about this series because the world that we live in, the culture in which we live, tells us continually how to get rich. And they push us to get more and to climb higher and to, you know, amass and to gain and to get richer and richer and make more. But nobody talks about how to be rich. And once you're there, I mean, after the culture has pushed you there and you get there, then how do you live your life well? How do you be a good rich person? So we're going to spend a few weeks talking about how to be rich. And right now, some of you are pushing back already, and I understand that. And I knew that people would misunderstand this, but that's never stopped me before. So we're just going to dive right in, because we live in a culture that talks continually about how to get rich, but nobody talks about how to be rich. Because maybe you're thinking right now, well, Seth, this doesn't apply to me because I'm not rich. But you never know. You might get there someday, and when you do, you'll be a good rich person because you were here for this series. Now, the reality is, nobody knows where the line is from not rich to rich, right? Nobody goes to work on Friday, gets their paycheck, and says, ha ha, I'm now rich. I wasn't rich before this week, but I got this paycheck, and now I'm rich. I remember where I was the day I got rich. I was July 27th, 2009. I got that paycheck, and I was then rich. I wasn't rich before I got the check. After the check, I was rich, and my life was so much better. Nobody knows where that line is. But what will happen is that you'll go from not rich to rich and not know it. And so you'll just keep going along trying to get rich, not realizing that you are rich, so you'll never learn to be rich because you don't know what you already are. Follow that? All right. Because we never learn to be what we've already become. And you know some rich people, right? And if you were to ask them, are you rich? What would they say? They'd say, well, no, I'm not rich. And then they would start talking about someone who is richer. And what happened to them may, in fact, happen to you. They got rich, and they didn't know it, so they just kept trying to get rich, and so they never learned to be rich. Do you know anyone who's rich and not good at it? You know, here you are, and you've got your kids. They're trying to sell cookies or candy bars for school or Girl Scouts or whatever it is, and you know that one rich person, and you're like, if we could just get through their security gates and knock on their door without getting shot, they would buy, like, cases, and we could go to school the next day and say, we're done. We don't have to sell anymore because rich people buy a lot, and so you finally get there, and what do? They buy one case. And you think, well, that's not how you be rich. You're not a good rich person, and you just know innately that they're not good at being rich. Some of you might know a rich person who's arrogant, and you've had this thought. You've thought, well, if I was rich, I wouldn't act that way. If I ever got rich, they're not a good rich person. I would be a good rich person. Or you see somebody who just has a lot of money, and you would call them rich, but the way they spend it, you just feel like they waste it. And you think things like, well, if I had that money, if I ever was that rich, I wouldn't spend it like that. They're not very good at being rich. I would be a good rich person. So for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how to be rich in case you ever get there. Because the truth of the matter is that there are some people in this room, at some point in time, you got rich and you didn't know it. In fact, you're rich now and you're not aware, and so you need to learn to be rich. Now, of course, maybe you're just sitting there and you think, I've lost my mind. Because it's always a little strange when a preacher talks about money, right? In fact, you could have stayed home today and watched TV and heard any number of preachers talk about money. But the fact is, most of those preachers are talking about how to get rich, not how to be rich. And they say things like, if you send in a dollar, God will give you 10. Now see, that's not even true, right? But if that were true, we wouldn't even take an offering. I'd just bring all my dollar bills and give them away at offering. We'd just give an offering, and then God would just give us 10 for every one we gave out. So if you think about it, those TV preachers, they don't even believe what they're saying, because if God gave 10 for every one you gave away, then they would send a dollar to everybody who watched them instead of asking people to send them. That's a whole other story. So anyway, the reason I'm excited about this series is because it has the potential to be a paradigm shift for many of us. Because if you read the Bible, you'll find that there is much that it has to say. There are a lot of passages of Scripture about money. In fact, what's more, there are a number of passages addressed specifically to rich people. And if you're not rich, as you're reading through the Bible, you'll be tempted to skip over those parts and not read them. But the Bible is very clear that these parts are for rich people. And since we don't think they're rich, we skip them because we don't think that they apply to us. So today we're going to look at a letter from a guy named Timothy, written by a guy named Paul. And Paul actually had been rich at one point and then lost everything when he became a follower of Jesus Christ, because in that culture it was illegal to be a follower of Jesus, and so he lost it all. And Paul in this letter tells Timothy, when you see rich people, here's what you need to tell them. And he actually gives them instructions. This here is just for rich people. So today, we're just going to read actually the first part of a verse, and we're going to spend actually the next 4 weeks in the same passage of Scripture. But today, we're just going to sort of, after we go verse by verse all these weeks, we're just going to do the first part of the first verse today, because it sets up where we're going. So yeah, you can read ahead, and that's all right. You won't get in any trouble. We're just going to take our time over these next couple of weeks to dig through this. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because here Paul gives Timothy some instructions that are specific to those people who are rich. Here's what Paul had to say. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, he starts out by saying to Timothy, "Command those who are rich in this present world." So in other words, I just want to stop there. That's really all the passage we're going to do today. Okay, and we're going to drill down a couple of levels. But Paul says to Timothy here, I have some very specific instructions that are just for rich people. So the question is, why would Paul, who wrote a large portion of the New Testament and was inspired by God, who had all this in mind, why would Paul and God have a section that is just focused on rich people, right? I mean, shouldn't the Bible like be for everybody? Shouldn't everything in there be for everybody and across? Isn't God more fair than that? But the reality is here, he has a section just for rich people, because God inspired Paul to write these instructions for people who are wealthy. Why? Why would he do that? Well, the answer is apparent if we look around ourselves, and because what we see is that rich people really face a unique set of issues and pressures and struggles, don't they? It's hard for us to believe, but it can in fact be challenging to be rich. It is not easy to be rich. There are some days that it's just really difficult, some pressures and struggles and complexities. So rich people are set up for all kinds of trials that non-rich people don't have to deal with. And since God loves the poor people and the middle class people and the rich people, here he says, I want to be sensitive to those who are rich, and I want to instruct them in areas where they need some help. Now, that was not only true in the first century, it's also true in our culture as well. And let's talk for a minute about some problems and struggles and just challenges that rich people have. And maybe you've heard of this. Rich people, they have so much extra money that they actually keep the extra in things called a bank. They go to and open bank accounts because they have so much extra money. That's what rich people do. In fact, rich people, when their kids turn 18 and they go to college, they pay for it. And they actually take time off of work and go move their kids in, and they buy their kids furniture for the dorm rooms because they have so much extra money that they can do that. And rich people sometimes even will buy cars for their kids while they're at college just in case they might need them. So that's just amazing. Rich people have that type of pressure that non-rich people just don't have. How about this? Maybe you've heard of this. Rich people have so much extra money that they do this thing called financial planning and estate planning. It's really sort of, imagine how cool that would be. Like, they know that they're going to run out of time before they run out of money. In other words, rich people know that when they die, they're going to have money left over. And so they spend time and they even spend their money to figure out what to do with all that leftover money they're going to have when they die. See, non-rich people, they just don't have that problem. They don't have that level of stress. Now, get this. Rich people actually pay someone to help them figure out what to do with all their leftover extra money. That's pretty amazing. I wrote down a couple others. Rich people overeat. They have so much extra food. And this is amazing. I've actually seen this. I don't know if you've seen this. But rich people will take perfectly good food and throw it away and put like new food right back in its place. Isn't that amazing? Rich people, they just have all of this extra stuff. And that's a whole layer of stress that non-rich people, they just don't have. Rich people have stress because their kids have too much stuff. And they talk to their other rich friends and they say, well, we just don't know what to do. It's like they have everything. And then they go home and give them more stuff. It's amazing how that happens. And rich people, they complicate their own lives. It's just part of being rich. They can't help it. And so maybe that's why God addresses this entire passage to rich people. Rich people, and maybe you won't believe this, but it's true. Rich people sometimes take everything out of their kitchen and then put the same things right back again. Isn't that amazing? They'll like take a refrigerator that works and get rid of it and go out and buy a new one and put it in the same spot. And they'll take countertops that are perfectly good, that they're stable, you can sit on them, they won't even fall down, take them out and get new countertops and put them in, but they're different. That's some things that rich people do. And then they complain about all the dust that they chose to create in their house because they needed a new kitchen. And it's just so difficult that sometimes they have to use the kitchen in the basement while the kitchen upstairs is being fixed. That happens to rich people. Here's another one. There's a lot of social pressure for rich people to look a certain way and to dress a certain way. And so they've just got to pay attention to style. You know, that's a pressure that rich people have that non-rich people just don't have. And they don't like it, but it's just part of the package of being rich. And so what happens is rich women will stand in front of a closet full of clothes and they'll say, oh, you know some rich people too. That's right. And so it's amazing. I've heard it, but I've not seen it that they say that. At the same time, their rich husband is down in the garage with their car, and which is interesting. It's like rich people, they actually build a house for their cars, and they call it a garage. And a lot of people in the world don't even have houses, but rich people, they build houses for their cars. And then the rich husband will go down, look at the car and say, at this car that runs just fine, and he'll say, it's time to get a new car. And he'll take it in and he'll trade in a perfectly good car and just get another car that's maybe a little bit shinier. That's what rich people do. And that whole process, that's just really stressful and complicated. And non-rich people, they just don't have that type of stress. You know, here's the best part, and I'm not sure really how this works, but rich people work for companies that actually say to them, we want you to take off 2 entire weeks a year, and you don't even have to come in, and we'll give you money anyway. That's what rich people do. It's amazing. It's like, you don't have to work at all, and we'll still pay you, and we'll call it a vacation. You don't have to show up, and you get paid. That's sick. I mean, if you think about it, that's just crazy. And then there's another layer of stress for rich people that non-rich people don't have with that, because then rich people, they've got to sit down and plan what they're going to do with all of that extra time when they don't have to work, but they get paid anyway. They have to say, they get in fights, and they argue about where they're going to go with all of the time that they're getting money for doing nothing. That's amazing to me that happens to rich people. And then they get on planes and they drive cars and they go on vacations, which cost a lot of money, and they still end up dying and have money left over. That's a whole level of stress and complexity in their lives that non-rich people, they just don't have. You know, deciding what to do with all that vacation time and long weekends is tough. And so I'm just telling you that rich people have layers of complexity and stress in their life that non-rich people, they just don't have to worry about. And it hurts their marriages, and it gets them into trouble, and the list just goes on and on. So God, who loves rich people just like he loves everybody else, says, I want to focus on their issues, and I want to address some things that they face and what they're dealing with. Why? Because life is hard when you face the pressures that come with being rich. You see where we're going. Now, the problem with this verse is answering the question, who's rich? Right? I mean, if this verse is for rich people, who is that? And our culture is so weird. I don't know if this is a cultural thing, or I don't know if it's a political thing. I don't know where it comes from. But rich people don't like to admit they're rich because somehow that's a negative thing. Right? I mean, somehow it's a bad thing to be rich, but everybody wants to get there. And so if you ask, if I asked, okay, today I just want everybody to raise their hand if they're rich, nobody would want to do that. But if I said, raise your hand if you're tall, and you were 6'3", like, everybody knows that you're tall, and you would raise your hand. And you wouldn't say, ah, I'm not really tall. Right? Everybody knows you're tall, and you would end up raising your hand. Or if I said, raise your hand if you're athletic. Well, you might not raise your hand right away, but your spouse would elbow you, and raise your hand, and that would be okay. If you're artsy, I could do the same. If you're musical, if you're mechanically minded, we could go right down the list until everybody had their hand up. But if I was to ask, raise your hand if you were rich, you wouldn't do it. And now the guy down the row would be like, tell him to raise his hand because he is rich, right? And you'd be like, ah, I'm not rich. Why? Because you immediately think of someone who is richer. And the problem is, if rich people don't know that they're rich, and the Bible says, here's a passage and some instructions and some things to think about for rich people, then we don't pay attention to that. Because we don't think we're rich. And if that's for rich people, then it's not for me. And what we end up thinking is, boy, I wish Uncle Frank was here because he's rich and he needs to hear this. So I want to just give you some evidence of this. A Gallup poll was done about asking people how they define what rich is. And not surprisingly, every group that they asked said that the group next up was rich. They wouldn't define themselves as rich. It was always the next group up. And so, understand this. Households that make $30,000 or less, and that's like a shared income husband and wife or a single working parent that makes $30,000 or less in a year, you know what they thought was rich? They thought if their household made $74,000 a year, then they would be rich. Basically, if they were to double their income, then they would go from not rich to being rich. But if you were to ask someone who lives in a household that makes $74,000, are you rich? They would say, of course not. Are you kidding? We're not rich. I mean, we got these bills, and we got the kids, and we got these things we got to take care of, and we just feel pressure. Then they moved up a notch, and they asked households that made between $30,000 a year and $50,000 a year, and they said, what do you think is rich? And they said that if their house, if we made $100,000, then we would go from not being rich to being rich. And basically, again, doubling their income. But if your household, you and your spouse, if you collectively make $100,000, and I was to ask you, are you rich? You would say, we can hardly save for college. We got the mortgage. We got these bills. And you know that you can burn through that in a year pretty quickly, and it's gone. It's easy to zip through that. Now, then they took sort of a broad survey looking for what people in America in general thought was like the line between not rich and rich, and the average American feels that making $120,000 is rich. That if you make less than that, you're not rich. If you make more than that, you're rich. So if you make that much, or you and your spouse collectively, you make that much, then by the average American standard, you, in fact, are rich. But I guarantee, if you were to ask them, are you rich, they would say, no way, because they're looking at the next level up. And then, this is interesting, then they ask the top level of income earners, what do you think is rich, okay? And they felt, this is the top level of earners in America, they felt that if you had total assets of $5 million, then you were rich. Because what that means is if you've got no debt, everything's paid off, and you've got $5 million in assets, then that would generate an after-tax income of about $200,000 a year, and you wouldn't have any responsibilities. If you had that, then you're rich. So you know what that means? That if you ask the guy with $2.5 million in assets, are you rich? He would say, no, I'm not rich. I need to have $5 million. Now, see, the point is this. What we call rich is a moving target. Rich is hard for us to really nail down. That's why you might cross the line and not know it. Because you'll always be looking at the next group up, wondering if you can just get there and climbing the ladder. But I would guess, and I don't know this for sure, but I would guess that many of us in here are probably making more money now than we have ever made in our lives. And if someone told you 15 years ago, do you know that in 15 years you're going to be making this much money? You would say, oh my gosh, I'll be rich. And yet today you feel just as much financial pressure as you have always felt because the margin is so thin. So let me take this just one more level and make us all feel a little bit awkward. If your household makes $37,000, you and your spouse, that means one of you makes $16,000 and the other one makes, I don't know, whatever that difference is, $21,000. If your household makes $37,000 a year, do you know that you are in the top 4% of wage earners in the world? In the top 4%. Just go up a little bit more than that. What that means is 96% of the other people in the world, 96% are poorer than you. But if you make $37,000 and someone asks, are you rich? See, you don't feel rich, do you? If you make $45,000, you're in the top 1% of wage earners in the entire world. Now, what's interesting is when I read those figures, nobody had the feeling, honey, we're rich, right? I mean, it wasn't like, I love this church because I came to church today and I found out that I am rich. I'm like in the top 1% in the entire world. So you're not going to run out and that didn't generate any energy in you. You're not going to run out and invite people to church. You need to come to our church because you come to our church, you're going to find out that you're rich. You don't think you're rich, but you really are rich. You need to come to our church. I love my church because that's... You're already rich and you just don't know it. See, when we went through that, there was no sense of relief at all. Even though most of us have crossed the line, we don't feel that we're rich. And that's the point. Because we don't think we're rich because we don't feel rich. And until we feel rich, we'll continue trying to get richer and to make more and to earn another level. And as long as we're trying to get rich, we won't act rich because we've not learned to be rich because we don't think we are rich. Now, we read verses like this, and we think, well, this verse isn't for me because I'm not rich. But as you think about it, being rich really isn't about an amount, but it's how you feel, right? If you were to ask yourself, if that's the case, when have I in my life ever felt rich? And I was thinking about that question as I was preparing for this message. Do you know when I felt rich in my life? The richest I've ever felt was in 10th grade. And I was 16 years old, and I got my license, and it was time to, you know, start driving. And Dad said, I'll cover the insurance if you pay your gas. So I had to start generating some income. So I went down to the local store, and I got a job at Radio Shack. And I was working in Radio Shack and, you know, selling CDs and little things. I didn't know what they did. And then the day that I got my first paycheck, I felt rich. Like, what am I going to do? I don't even remember what it was, $200, $150. And you go home and you're thinking about all the things you can buy with that. And you don't buy anything because you put it in the bank because you feel powerful because you've got money now and you're rich. And the reason you felt rich is because you didn't have any responsibilities, you didn't have any bills, and you had tons of margin. I was thinking another time in my life that I felt rich is after I got out of college. I was still living with my parents, and I got a job teaching 8th grade history. And that was like my first real job, a salary job. It wasn't, you know, a regular work in the library, college, wash dishes type of job. It was an actual job. And this job actually paid like more than $10,000. I'm like, what am I going to do with that? I only have 365 days to spend that. They're going to, you know, keeps coming. I actually remember thinking, what am I going to do with this much money? Do you ever remember feeling that way? And it's because at that point, we had margin. We didn't have any responsibilities, especially for me. I was living with my parents at the time. Now, the reason that you felt like that is because feeling rich doesn't have anything to do with our income. It has everything to do with what we do with it. It's not about money. It's about our responsibility and how we manage it. It's about margin. And we're going to revisit that in a couple of weeks. But the challenge for us is, because we don't feel rich, we don't see ourselves as rich, so we don't act rich. And consequently, we oftentimes act irresponsibly, even though at some point we've crossed the line from not rich to rich, and we didn't know it. To just tell you a cool little story, Bill Gates, after he had left Microsoft, he traveled to India, and he was in the process of trying to determine what he was going to do with all of his money. You know, he started a foundation, he wanted to give it away, and kind of trying to ascertain what the proper strategy was going to be to use his money for the benefit of others. And he was out in some very, very remote village where you needed to have a translator in order to communicate, and he was in the home of a little woman. He was speaking with her through a translator and asking her questions, and they talked. And of course, there was a journalist along the way kind of covering this this story and his process. And after Bill Gates left the house, the journalist, through a translator, asked the lady, "Do you realize that the man who just walked out your door is the richest man in the world?" And with no change in her expression, she said back to the journalist through the translator, "Everybody from the West is rich." You see, it didn't matter to her how rich, because it's like all one category. Because if you could afford a ticket to get there, you were rich. Which means that if you were the next person through the door, she would put you in the same category as Bill Gates. Because rich isn't about the amount of money that we have. Now, that story still doesn't make you feel any better about yourself, does it? Why? Because there's always something more, there's always something more, there's always something more. We've got to chase it, got to chase it, got to chase it. And we spend all our time trying to get there, never pausing to ask ourselves, what do I do if I cross the line? What do I do if I eventually go from not rich to rich? How would I be rich? Now, just as a side note, there are people in this world who think you're rich. And let's bring it down locally. There are people in this city who think that you're rich. Now, today, this is not a feel guilty message. This is not a feel guilty message at all. Hopefully, this is a wake up call for us. Because we will not be able to get where we need to be until we first know where we are. Right? You've learned that if you're driving around and you get lost, before you can get to where you need to be, you've got to figure out where you are. That's just a principle. And so if you want to, in your life, get to where God wants you to be, you first have to wake up and realize where, in fact, you are. So it's very important because Scripture has many, many helpful things to say to those of us who are rich. So I don't want us to miss it. So the first lesson in this series today is for us to learn to admit that we're rich. So we're going to practice saying this. Now, before we do that, and before I start getting calls from you and before I get the emails and all of that, I understand we're a church. Nobody calls the church to say, "Hey, I got a bonus. I was just calling to check in." Right? We get calls, and I am very, very, very aware that some of us are unemployed right now, that some of us are working on reduced hours for the week. But for the most part, we're doing okay. Most of us are doing all right. And so I'm very aware of that. And most of us have crossed the line, though, from not rich to rich. So I'm going to ask you to do something that's uncomfortable. Aren't you glad you came today? Now, if you're really uncomfortable with this, and you walk out of here all mad at me, and you're calling your cousin, and you're like, "You won't believe what my preacher did today," then after you're done being mad at me, then that's past, I just want you to ask yourself the question, why did that make me so uncomfortable? Why did that upset me? Is there something cultural going on, something political? What was it that made me react in that way? Right? Because it wouldn't be weird if Seth had asked me if I was tall, but asking me if I was rich, that just, you know, what is that thing that made me go there? So we're going to practice admitting that we're rich. And so here we go. I'm going to say it. Then you repeat it. All right? I have more than I need. I'm rich. All right, let's do it again. I have more than I need. I'm rich. Now, if you're religious, you're Christian, then there's another version of this. If you're not religious yet, you know, that's okay. But the Christian version is, God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. All right. Now, If you've ever had the experience where, like, you have an 11-year-old, an 8-year-old, you know, your kid comes up and hugs you, and they say, "Mommy or Daddy, are we rich?" You know what you say, right? You say, "No, we're not rich, but we are." And so many of us, we have two cars, and we build a house for the car. In fact, many of us have a bedroom that nobody sleeps in, but we have it just in case someone shows up to sleep in it. Right? And so when you had kids, or if you've had kids now, you're like, no, don't go in there because that room is for people we don't even know yet. Right? And so if your child asks you, "Are we rich?" then you just need to sort of gulp, choke it down and say, "Yes, we're rich." Now your next reaction will be, "But don't go to school and tell anybody." Right? But it's okay if they tell somebody, because the reality is we're rich. And again, let's say one more time, God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. Now, the last thing before we wrap up today, it's sort of funny but important that we talk about. I want to talk about guilt. Because rich people have so associated guilt with wealth, and I don't want to waste my time trying to figure out why or where that came from. It's just a reality in our culture. But I'm going to tell you what. Associating guilt with what you have will take you nowhere good. It doesn't generate any positive outcome in your life whatsoever. In fact, it'll put you in a negative spiral in your mind, just feeling guiltier and guiltier and guiltier about what you have, and it never leads to anything positive long term. Might generate something short term, you know, you might give to a mission trip or whatever if you feel guilty, but nothing long term positive comes from feeling guilty about what you've already had. And here's the reason that I say that you don't need to feel guilty. Because the reason you have what you have, in most cases, has less to do with you than what most people think it does, right? I mean, you didn't control where you were born. You didn't control who your parents were. You didn't control what opportunities and connections your family had. You didn't control life circumstances. Those things were outside of your control, so you can't take full credit for what you have, and therefore, you don't need to feel guilty about what you have. Now, let's face it, if someone gives you something, should you feel guilty? No, you feel grateful. So in the same way, and if you're rich, especially if you're a Christian and understand that everything comes from God and he's given it to you, we need to learn to say, "I'm not going to feel guilty anymore for what I have. I'm going to try to feel grateful to God for what he's given me and ask me to manage on his behalf." Now, for the person here who you're already mumbling in your head, "Well, Seth, you don't know how hard I've worked. I worked for this." Come on. Your grandma worked harder than you, right? I mean, if we looked at how hard some of our grandmothers worked, some of them worked in mills or on the farm, they outworked us, and they never got rich. So just because you work hard doesn't guarantee that you're going to be rich. And so your richness, what you have, you can't take full credit for that. And therefore, you don't need to feel guilty. You just need to feel grateful. You know, as a church, we have done Financial Peace University several times. And it's been a real kind of fun process to go through. And I've met in that process, not just from our church, we've coordinated with some other churches, couples who, were upside down in debt. Financially, they were reversed. They were hard workers. And then they committed to some of the principles in Financial Peace University. They got their financial house in order, and now they're on top. And when they tell their story, it never comes out, "You know, we felt so guilty that we just decided to change our life." You never hear stories told that way. They learned to be rich, and they learned God's principles for managing money, and they were not driven by guilt. They were driven by obedience. You know, some people never save a dime. That's just not how they're wired. And then they see that God's priorities are, you know, give first, save second, live on the rest. And so they apply that principle to their life, to give first, save second, live on the rest. Give first, save second, live on the rest. They never say, "Well, you know what? We just felt so guilty about not saving that we changed our lives." Guilt never changes anybody for positive long-term change. So you don't need to feel guilty about what you have. You need to feel grateful. And whenever you start to see pictures of people who have less than you or in or harder circumstances, and you start to feel guilty, you can just say to yourself, whoa, 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 whoa. God has put this in my hands, and I need to feel grateful for it. I don't need to feel guilty for it. And I need to learn to be responsible with what he has given me. Why? Because I want to be good at being rich. So the good news today is it's better than you thought. You actually are rich and didn't know it. And if you have, let's face it, if you have a retirement fund, if you go out today and you actually have to pick the restaurant that you're going to go to, if you have to stand in front of a closet to select what you're going to wear, then you can respond, God, thank you. Now teach me how to be rich. God, you already made me rich. Help me be responsible in the way I handle it. Help me be rich well. Because I want to model for my kids. I want to model for, in some cases, my parents. I want to model, in some cases, my neighbors. I want to model for the people I care about most what it means to be rich well. And forget the guilt. Replace it with gratitude. So over the next couple weeks, we're going to learn how to be rich. Because let's just say this one last time. God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is really awkward to talk about. And we're going to leave today with a lot of mixed feelings. Some of us, for whatever reason, hate the word rich because we knew a rich man, or we knew a rich woman, we knew rich people. Whatever it takes, help us to see that what you blessed us with is what we need to be grateful for. Help us to see it in the same way that you see it. Help us shred the guilt from our thinking and replace it with a deep sense of gratitude. And over the next weeks, I pray that you would teach us to be responsible. As people see you bless us, we want them to say, wow, they're rich, but they never knew it. They just act differently. Thanks for giving us more than we need. Teach us how to manage it well. Teach us to be responsible. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.